This program is presented and paid for by Deborah Heart and Lung Center. The information, views, and opinions expressed are those of Deborah Heart and Lung Center, do not necessarily reflect those of Town Square Media or its affiliates. They are current as of the date of this broadcast, subject to change without notice. And I am thrilled to welcome back. We've had great visits in the past. I know in advance of today's clinic that Dr. Domer is going to put on that today will be no exception to that kind an accurate statement that I made. Dr. Gregory Domer is a talented vascular and endovascular surgeon at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, board certified in vascular surgery. After medical school, Dr. Domer completed a residency in surgery at St. Luke's Roosevelt Medical Center in New York. He completed a fellowship in vascular surgery at UMDNJ, Robert Wood Johnson University Medical School in New Brunswick, New Jersey. And Dr. Domer also completed an endovascular surgery fellowship at Union Memorial Hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. Dr. Domer's special interests include vascular and endovascular surgery, aortic disease, carotid disease. We'll be talking about the carotid artery disease this half hour, limb preservation interventions, and dialysis access. He has authored numerous articles in peer-reviewed journals and medical textbooks and participated in clinical research projects. He is the Division Director of Vascular Surgery at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, and Dr. Domer is the Program Director of the Vascular Surgery Fellowship. Dr. Domer, welcome back. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am well. Good to be with you. Our topic this half hour, as you know, doctor, is carotid artery disease. What is carotid artery disease?
Well, carotid artery disease, it's a form of atherosclerosis, which is a hardening of the arteries, which occurs in all of the arterial segments throughout the body. Most notably, what people are probably most familiar with is atherosclerosis of the coronary arteries or the heart arteries, which can result in heart attack. But that same atherosclerosis can develop in any of the arteries throughout the body. And so what we're talking about today is the carotid arteries, which are the two main arteries located on either side of the neck, which deliver the oxygen-rich blood to the brain, which allow us to function. And this plaque buildup can diminish that blood flow. And if they become completely blocked, that can lead to stroke. Or what's more commonly occurrence is embolization. And what that is, it's small particles of that plaque can break off and extend up to the brain, blocking the very small vessels, which also can lead to stroke. And again, that's the more common method of stroke. And stroke is probably more common than most people are aware of. We'll probably talk about this in a little bit, but just a sort of quick review that 800,000 people in the U.S. Have stroke each year, with about 200 to 250,000 of those people, the strokes can be directly related to carotid artery disease. And this month, in fact, is Stroke Awareness Month. So we're trying to get the word out to both the people in the general public and even to the primary care physicians about the prevalence of carotid artery disease and what can be done for it.
Really important opening that you just did, Dr. Domer. Who is at risk for carotid artery disease?
Well, the risk factors for carotid artery disease are, again, the same as those for atherosclerotic disease in general, which is people with hypertension, smoking. Smoking is the big one. High cholesterol, advanced age, diabetes, those people with a sedentary lifestyle. They're all at increased risk for developing atherosclerosis or carotid artery disease specifically. Smoking, again, the big bugaboo. Everybody knows about cancer-related death from smoking. What people most likely don't know is that smoking is directly related to cardiovascular death. And, in fact, life expectancy is at least 10 years shorter in those people that smoke.
Wow.
And smoking is responsible for roughly 1 in 5 deaths in the U.S. per year. And another disturbing statistic with smoking is that 480,000 deaths occur annually from exposure to just secondhand smoke. So smoking is the big one, but the other risk factors are important nonetheless.
And we are, Dr. Domer, experiencing the smallest percentage of Americans who smoke, maybe than ever in history, but certainly in our lifetime. So that is a good sign, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Do we know enough about the vaping? I've always believed from the very beginning, I've told this story to my listeners on a number of occasions. One day, a friend of mine walked in the studio. This is a number of years ago. He has since passed away, God rest his soul. But he's walking into my studio, and we're friends for a really long time, and I see this blue lighted thing, and all of a sudden, this white cloud of vapor. So I had not really heard of this. Is obviously very, very early into vaping. So he's explaining to me that, hey, this is great. I don't smoke anymore, and there's no harm with this. I said, wait a minute. I said, you're inhaling something that is being evaporated into this device that you're smoking. I said, this blue light, you know, I'm not impressed with, and that white cloud was just, you know, in your lungs, and some of it, you know, still is. So I knew that that couldn't be good. I'm reading about popcorn lung and people on ventilators and crazy stuff. I think this vaping may turn out to be worse than smoking tobacco.
Yeah, you may be right. I don't know a whole lot about vaping, but certainly it's just another method of ingesting a chemical toxin into our bloodstream,
yeah.
Right? The nicotine.
Exactly.
Which any way you choose to do it is going to cause harm. So, I wonder if you
said to everyone at an impressionable age that if you start smoking, you will live 10 years less, you can bank on it, than you would if you don't do that. I wonder how many people would start.
Well, that's a great question. And, you know, because once you start, we know that, you know, chemical changes occur in the brain.
Yep.
And, you know, some people have reported that it's more difficult to stop a smoking addiction than it is heroin or any other of these untoward drugs out there. And in fact, I have patients in the office all the time. I mean, at least 80 to 85% of the people that come to see me are smokers. And, you know, some of them have had an amputation because their atherosclerotic disease has become so profound, there aren't further options for revascularization, and they still continue to smoke. So that just gives you an idea on how powerful this addiction is.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Yeah.
Something, you know, sort of what you alluded to, has also been shown that people, if they stop by the age of 40, will extend their life by at least 10 years.
So important. I know people are listening, and I know it's the chemicals are so addictive and it's so powerful that you want it. But I believe you inspired some people today to take a good hard look at that. You are listening to just a phenomenal individual, a great doctor, a great surgeon, Dr. Gregory Domer from Deborah Heart and Lung Center. I remind you that Deborah Heart and Lung Center is accepting new patients. You can call 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080. They have a great, easy-to-navigate website. You'll see the hyperlink to scheduling. You can't miss it. It's a big block hyperlink that you can't miss on demanddeborah.org, their website. What are the symptoms? For those listening that wonder, okay, I'm learning from Dr. Domer the risks and what is carotid arterial or carotid artery disease. What are the symptoms of carotid artery disease?
You know, that's a great question because unfortunately it's sort of one of the silent killers or silent diseases. So there are definitely things to look out for. And there is one acronym which is very prevalent. You probably see it if you've walked through hospitals before. You will have seen it, and that's the FAST acronym, or even sometimes referred to as BFAST. And what that stands for is the B is for balance. So this isn't, you know, something that people, as we get older, sometimes have some difficulties with balance and so forth because of maybe osteoarthritis or what have you. But this is a sudden change in your balance where you lose your ability to stand or stand up that hasn't been present before. So that's something to be concerned about. The other would be the E is for eyes. And so that's sudden loss of vision. So it's not a little bit of blurry vision. So I always try to be very clear with people that, you know, if you have a little bit of change in vision, you know, don't be overly concerned. This would be a very sudden, complete loss of vision. People describe it as sort of a lampshade that comes down over their eyes. So that would be the E. And then the FAST, the F is face. So if you were ever to notice facial asymmetry, and you may just see it in the mirror, but more commonly, your wife or your husband or one of your family members may notice that your lip is drooping a little bit on one side or the other. That's something to be concerned about. And then the A is for arm, but it's for arms and legs. So if you have sudden weakness in your arms or legs that occurs, that would be something to be concerned about. The S is for speech. So again, oftentimes patients won't even realize that they're speaking, sometimes incoherently or slurring their words, and it's usually picked up by friends or relatives. And the last one is time. So if any of these symptoms arise, you should report to an emergency room immediately, because there's about a three and a half hour window where a clot-busting medicine can be given to help dissolve any potential clot that may have formed and embolized or traveled up into the small vessels in the brain. So the earlier, the better that you can seek treatment.
We're going to take our one and only break during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents Dr. Domer. And I mentioned, Doctor, in advance of your appearance this morning, how I just knew you would be putting on a clinic on this topic, and you already have, and we have a lot more important content. Guest listener Ed has a question that I'm going to pose to Dr. Domer as well. We talked about smoking in terms of traditional tobacco smoking. I brought up the vaping. And a listener has brought up the now that the recreational legal marijuana is so prevalent, and there are people that prefer the inhalation, that aren't doing the gummy bears or the candy or any of the other stuff. They're doing the inhalation, smoking the marijuana. We'll certainly, Ed, pose your question to Dr. Domer when we come back, and he's got a little advanced tease on it right now. And then we're going to get into how is it diagnosed. Now, is it as simple as the symptoms then tell you, hey, oh my God, the droopy lip and I got all this other stuff going on? Is that how it's diagnosed, or is there more to that? Dr. Domer will share when we come back. The topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents Dr. Gregory Domer is carotid artery disease. We'll be right back with Dr. Domer. I am respectfully yours.
Early in the morning, WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM.
And we thank you for that, and know that it is all because of you. Thank you for making us number one. There's only room for one to be number one, and you made it happen, and we thank you. Our guest on the Hurley in the Morning Newsmaker Hotline is just fantastic, and I so confidently stated that Dr. Domer was going to put on a clinic because he did last time, and he's not forgettable. And the topic this half hour with Dr. Domer is carotid artery disease. Let me pay homage to our listeners, and Ed did pose the question because I'm sure we inspired it with the conversation on tobacco inhalation, the vaping. I don't know what your answer is going to be. I suspect what your answer is going to be, Dr. Domer, but inhaling the marijuana can't be great for business either.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think there's still a lot of research that needs to be done on this, because it's just now starting to come out because of it being legalized in the last few years at various states around the country. But there are studies coming out in the cardiology literature talking about significantly increased risk by at least one third of coronary artery disease and just heart disease in general with smoking marijuana. So that's not the occasional smoker. They've looked at people that are smoking marijuana every day. And so they've tried to correlate that with, does taking the CBD gummies also do that? I remember hearing some of the cardiology colleagues talking about, and they're not quite sure about that right now. They're still looking into that. But, you know, I think if things are done reasonably in moderation, you're probably okay, but there definitely does seem to be some correlation with coronary artery disease. And if there's coronary artery disease, then carotid disease is probably not far behind.
There you go. There's your answer, Ed. We are visiting with Dr. Gregory Domer. The program is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. The topic this half hour with the Division Director of Vascular Surgery, the Program Director for the Vascular Surgery Fellowship, Dr. Domer, is carotid artery disease. And the questions just were building this important narrative of just how significant this is, and we're to a very important part of your program. How is carotid artery disease diagnosed?
So hopefully we catch it before the signs and symptoms, which we just mentioned by the BFAST acronym. One simple way of diagnosing it is people with appropriate risk factors, your primary care, and many of you have probably had this done where they will take their stethoscope and listen to your neck. Well, what they're listening for is they're listening to your carotid artery, and significant plaque buildup can cause a sound, which is referred to as a bruit. And that bruit could be indicative of significant plaque buildup or atherosclerotic disease. The problem with that study is it's not very sensitive or specific, meaning that it doesn't pick up everybody that has significant plaque buildup, and there may be an abnormal bruit in somebody that doesn't have significant plaque buildup. But it is one method that's easily done and performed. The other method that is probably a better screening test, again, this shouldn't be done on everybody, but people with appropriate risk factors, so again, smoking, advanced age, diabetes, hypertension, sedentary lifestyle, they can have something called a carotid duplex, which is simply an ultrasound of the carotid arteries. Takes about a half an hour, and that is very sensitive, meaning that it almost never misses anybody with significant plaque disease. And then those people that are found to have significant plaque disease can go on to have a CT angio or an MRI or some other advanced method of really taking a close look at the plaque morphology or how the plaque is shaped and exactly where it's located in the arteries, because those things are important in deciding how we go about treating the carotid plaque and whether it, in fact, even needs to be treated. Oftentimes, in fact, the vast majority of the times, it's just medical management with an aspirin, you know, modification of the risk factors and adding a statin, which is a cholesterol medication, and controlling their hypertension.
Wow. And we're going to talk further about treatment in a standalone question with Dr. Domer in just a moment. Just a quick reset, appearing during Stroke Awareness Month, so that's very appropriate, is Dr. Gregory Domer on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Our discussion this half hour about carotid artery disease. And I think this is one of the biggest questions of your show today, Dr. Domer. How is carotid artery disease treated, and the various procedures or whatever? Time is yours.
Okay, there's three methods of treating carotid artery disease aside from conservative measures with just medical treatment, which again is the vast majority of patients don't need treatment because their risk of stroke is very, very low unless that plaque has become significant and now we're at risk of either completely closing off the artery or again, particles breaking off or embolization as it's called. So the first method, the sort of gold standard method, has been done for about 70 years now. It was first done in 1955. It's called carotid endarterectomy. And what that is it's a small incision on the side of the neck where we actually open the artery and clean out the plaque, ridding the potential for stroke. And this is an excellent procedure performed by well-trained vascular surgeons. And in fact, it's probably the most common procedure for those of us that treat people with peripheral vascular disease. The second method is, well, the second and third are both stenting, but the placement of the stent, the technique of placing the stent is somewhat different. The first method of placing a stent came around in about 2000, and that is placing a stent through the femoral artery, which is the large artery in the groin. And This is done through a needle stick, so there's no incisions. And then a wire has to be threaded up to the carotid artery, so up near the heart and then into the carotid artery in the neck. And this procedure is a great procedure for the appropriately selected patients. The problem with this procedure is that you have to traverse vessels that also have plaque within them. So in that, in the process of traversing these vessels, those particles can again break off and cause stroke. So a method that now has come about, it's been done now for about 7 or 8 years. It's called TCAR, transcarotid artery revascularization. And that's still a placement of a stent, but you bypass having to traverse all of those vessels leading up to the carotid artery, where a small incision is made just above your collarbone. And we put in, it's really almost like a suction device, so that any potential particles that could break off are sucked through this, it's called a sheath, which is an expandable mesh tube, and then it's hooked up to a filter, and that blood is then returned through your femoral vein in your groin. So it removes any potential plaque, filters it out, and then returns the blood into the femoral vein, and then the stent is placed during that time.
What an amazing thing to hear, like a full filtration system.
Yeah, it's a pretty... you know, in fact, when carotid artery disease was first being treated with less invasive, meaning, you know, not doing the carotid endarterectomy, they started doing it this way, but without the suction device. That apparatus is new. And now, so we've come full circle, because we did the transfemoral for a while, and then now have come back now with this apparatus that really sucks out and filters that particulate matter to prevent stroke. And the results have been really quite profound. I mean, they're actually very, very good. So, but all of these procedures can be done to treat carotid artery disease, but each having their own benefits and their own risks. So people really need to see someone that's treating their carotid artery disease that is facile and experienced with all three methods, because only then can that person make a good decision on which method would be the best for any given patient.
Looking at the clock, I cannot believe it. We're allegedly in about our 2 or 3 minute drill here with Dr. Domer. It has just flown by, and I knew that would be the case. How can you prevent carotid artery disease?
So that's a great question. And there can be risk. So risk factor modification is the best way. There's no way to reverse the plaque. But we follow hundreds of patients in our office with carotid artery disease, but probably only operate on 50 to 80 of those patients per year. So the vast majority, with risk factor modification, appropriate diet, exercise, stop smoking is the number one, just a heart-healthy diet can help prevent the progression of carotid artery disease. So it's certainly, once you're diagnosed with it, it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll need surgery. And again, the vast majority of people don't need surgery.
And you did answer my question with that answer. My follow-up was, is carotid artery disease reversible? I think I heard you say it's not reversible, correct?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not reversible. We don't have the medications today that we've shown that some of the medications that we take stabilize the plaque, and there may be some mild regression of the plaque, but nothing substantial, certainly nothing to absolutely reverse the atherosclerotic disease.
Is it fair to say treatable but not reversible?
Yes.
And how about heredity? Because in all the different programs that we do with the Deborah Heart and Lung Center, I've never heard heredity not be a big deal. But for example, you could be the child of two lifelong chain-smoking parents who died of endocarcinoma of the lung. You're visiting with one right here, but I've never intentionally smoked. I'm sure I've been a secondhand, recipient. But is that heredity if the smoking caused the cancer? Does that make the child high risk, or was it the smoking that was the high risk?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. And so as far as cancer or lung cancer, there definitely is a significantly reduced risk, but there probably is still some risk there if there is, especially with both parents. But even if, so for carotid disease, yes, heredity does play a role. If you don't smoke, then you're probably going to delay the onset of significant atherosclerotic disease by 10 or more years. But yes, that still is a strong predictor that that you may, in fact, develop carotid artery disease or atherosclerotic disease in general.
I know you're leaving in about the next minute. Could you give us your best minute on the warning signs of a stroke? Because you mentioned that this, if it throws a clot that and it goes to the brain, it, you know, it could cause a stroke. What are the signs of a stroke?
Yeah, so again, it would be that acronym BFAST. So sudden change in balance, sudden change in vision, where a complete loss of vision in one eye or the other. And then if there's facial asymmetry, usually seen by friends or family, arm or leg, complete weakness or even extensive numbness, speech, irregular speech. Sometimes people are saying things unintentionally and not even realizing it, or their speech is just sort of garbled. And the last one, time. Time is of the essence. So if these symptoms do occur, getting to an emergency room immediately is crucial to treat that stroke that has occurred.
What I've heard that called like TPA or something, but that clot busting, just I think it's amazing. What repeat again? What is the time frame? Because obviously the sooner the better.
Right. So the FDA approval for administering TPA is within 3 hours. Now, in select patients, the provider, the surgeon, may decide to extend that window a little bit longer in the appropriate patients. But what people should be aware of is 3 hours. So it's time really is of the essence.
So everybody out there, you see it happening because, as you mentioned, the person might not even realize it's going on, but you will. The significant other or someone close to that person will know if something's, you know, not right there. They're going to see it maybe in the facial that Dr. Domer mentioned, or if they're slurring or something. You're just going to know that something is off. Deborah Heart and Lung Center is accepting new patients. You can call 609-621-2080 on the web. You can do so digitally as well from any digital device at demanddeborah.org. Dr. Domer, I always love the time we spend together. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Harry.
You are welcome, sir.